Would you close your eyes for a moment? Say, Father, give me ears to hear, a heart to perceive, and the eyes to see what your Spirit is speaking to me. Amen. Not going to happen today? I thought you were going to follow up.
I absolutely did not give it.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. We got a backup plan because, you know, I said to the Lord.
I'm so sorry. If I had known that it was going to be.
Well, I had previously said, you know, whether it takes a couple of Tuesdays or three Tuesdays or whatever.
So do you want me to plan to continue it next week?
That would be nice.
All right. I apologize.
That's okay. That's okay. It's been a while. Just hold on. I'll get my little booklet because he did give me a little bit of stuff that I might have to go back in the corner for a couple of days, but I'll survive. Okay.
Oh, God. I wished I had. Oh, Lord, you did something bad.
Well, it's because you know how God gets on a theme and he wants you and me to wake up. And how many of you have read that paper that we gave you last week? And how did it stir on the inside of you as you declared it?
Truth is a person.
How did you feel it? Did it come to life a little bit? I want to... This book, by the way, is not quite yesterday's book. I bought this in the early 80s. The last time it was printed was in 1996, but I believe I got mine probably around that same time. And it's written by a wonderful man of God called E.W. Kenyon. And it had... 57 million copies sold. Or 57, yeah, whatever the numbers, it's not important. What's important is it's talking about some righteous realities. And you can declare that you are righteous by faith, because when you're looking at it from a point of view of the carnal mind, you're going to be in trouble. And we taught on this before, and of course there's a lot of scriptures, but one of them comes to mind is Romans 5:9 says we are justified by his blood and made righteous by him. So he says we are righteous from the time that we are born again, and faith grows as we walk in the word. We grow in knowledge and in our righteousness, what it can mean to us and its vast privileges and responsibilities. We do not grow in sonship, though. We may grow in the knowledge of what sonship means. In other words, you've been, all these things are established when you're born again. But the understanding of it, the understanding of who you are in Christ, it starts breaking down the old patterns of the mind. Perhaps the clearest definition of what we are in Christ is given in Hebrews 10, verse 38. So you might look that one up. Hebrews 10, 38. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. Now, that's pretty strong words. And if you really realize that you and I are faith people, you're going to be aware that if you shrink back and go back into your carnal understanding of who you are in Christ, you're going to be in trouble. Because you're shrinking back. And the Holy Spirit, through this man, as St. Paul, I believe, wrote Hebrews, he said, my soul has no pleasure in him. God's mind, will, and emotions are kind of uptight about it, if that makes sense. God calls the church his righteous one. Now, if God calls the church his righteous one, who are we to judge? How did the church get to be righteous? The blood. Yes, Jesus. He speaks of us individually as his righteous one. If we drop back into the sense realm or of dead works, we rob him of the joy that belongs to him. Now, if you take time to swallow that a little bit, what you're doing is, if you are trying to figure out how you got righteous with your own actions and reactions, you're in trouble. Okay? So it might be wise to look at your neighbor right now and say, this walk is a walk of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that you can't see, hear, feel, touch, etc. Because it's coming from where? It's coming from heaven into the earth. And it's coming into this earth. Amen? Amen. Jesus, in his great high priestly prayer in John 17:3, said, "And this is eternal life, that they should know thee, the only true God, and him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ." The word true means real. That they should know thee, the only real God. We may have many theories and facts which men have gathered concerning God. But we will never know him as a father until we receive eternal life. So your connection is your born-again experience. We will never know the real Christ until we receive eternal life. We may know about him, may have read volumes about him, but until we receive eternal life, we will never know him in reality, knowledge, intimacy. Amen? Jesus is the light of the world. He is the life. The life is the oil which, when ignited by love, gives light. Now that is an incredible statement. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes on that one, because I want you to digest it, hopefully a little tiny bit, so that you can actually take this one to the bank. Say, Jesus is the light of the world. He is life. And the life is the oil, which when ignited by love, gives light. Take a deep breath. Say, Jesus is the light of the world. He is life. And the life is the oil, which when ignited by love, gives light. This love God and this love Christ are both living realities. He said, I am the way and the reality and the life. Real philosophy is a search after God. The moment the philosopher finds eternal life, he stops being a philosopher and becomes a realist. Cool, huh? God is love. Eternal life is the love nature of God. Try that one on for size. Say, God is love. Eternal life is the love nature of God. Yes, eternal life is the love nature of God. When we receive eternal life, we receive his love nature. Then that love nature begins to dominate us and gains the ascendancy in our lives. When that transition takes place, you can love the unlovable. Instead of being a critic about everything they do wrong, you begin to have a sense of compassion. When you see them falling into sin, you don't scream and yell at them. You give them grace and pray for them. You respect their trial and their hardship. That's what love is. Love hardly notices when you do or see them doing wrong. Jesus goes to a great celebration and an incredible big party in the city. And a woman who's been a prostitute, and everybody knows she's a prostitute, shows up and begins to touch his feet and anoint him. And the leader of the clan says, ha, if he was a real prophet. He wouldn't let her touch him. Did the love nature dominate my Savior? Is it dominating me? Or is it a part-time deal? How many say part-time? Come on, put your hand up if it's part-time. Yes, because we're not there yet. But we're in transition. Huh? Well, I am trying to pound this message home so that we can cry out to him for more grace. You're not going to do it without grace. His favor is resident in you by his Spirit. Close your eyes for a moment. Put your hand right over your heart. Say, his Holy Spirit, is truly right inside me. And I've got to stop seeing my mistakes. I've got to see his love. Poured towards me. From the cross. He nailed all my sin on the cross. And that includes the sins of my neighbors. Even those ugly relatives. All of them. He forgave them all. They just don't have it knowledge yet. He forgave them all. Come on. He forgave them all. They just don't know it yet. But they will. My job is to love them. And I need grace to do it. Sometimes lots of it. Amen. Okay, take a breath. Let it go. Let's go back. God is love. Eternal life is the love nature of God. When we receive eternal life, we receive his love nature. Then that love nature begins to dominate us. I stress the word begins. And gains the ascendancy in our lives. 1 John 4:16. You can make a note of that one because it's a good one. 1 John 4:16 tells us about the abiding in love, making our home in love. And we know and have believed the love which God has in our case. God is love. And he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. It's a reciprocal love flow. It is a love life. We are beginning to walk in him, and with him, it makes a compassion, a companion of him. If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. And make our abode with him. John 14:23. Notice again, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our residence in him and with him. Can we ask for anything more beautiful than that? We have the living Father and the Son living in us by His Spirit. Jesus and the Father will come and make their home with us, no matter how humble it is. But now you better take another breath. Say, it's not my job to make it beautiful. Tell your neighbor, it's not your job to make it beautiful. Whose job is it to make it beautiful? His. Your reliance on Him gets rid of all your pride. And I'm still a work in progress, because I see myself trying to perform. Anybody else out there that has that problem? Why? Because we've been pushed into performance. They will make it beautiful. They, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they will make it beautiful. They will make it a safe place for children to be born. Woo-hoo! No quarreling, no bitterness, no divorce can ever come into the home where Jesus lives. Say, ouch. Why ouch? Because sometimes our thoughts are not matching the eternal life that's in us. And if you had any one of those things happen to you, I remind you, you're normal. But you're not normal anymore. You're eternal. Say, I was normal. I was like the world. But now I'm eternal. I have His love flowing through me. And I'm a work in progress. This home life with Jesus is the mother of faith. It makes our home relationship beautiful. We meet dishonesty and faithlessness without saying an unkind word. We enter a new kind of life where we never think of being neglected, forgotten, or ignored. We never remember anything that is unkind. I'm not there yet. This new love is life. This new life is love. We forgive those who are dishonest because this new life has taken possession of us. We are taking Jesus' place on earth and in the earth. It's both. We are taking Jesus' place in the earth, and we are loving as Jesus would love. We are giving as Jesus would give. We are as helpful as the Master would be in our place. We live with Him. His love is our love. His strength is our strength. I'm almost done. We live with Him. Say it. We live with Him. His love is our love. His strength is our strength. His ability is ours. We are His own love slaves. We love Him because He first loved me. Or us. When I was studying that this afternoon, I said, Lord, how do you want to present it? He said, just that is it, because it's right for my word. And you know, I know it prods us to see the intensity of the work that's still ahead. Okay? That's where the irritation is, because we're not there yet, and we know it. Amen? Isn't that what churns us up? If we were really in love and knowing that His love for us is that strong, then we would say, okay, have your way. But what we do, we try to perform. And I'm guilty. You're not alone. But I make you a promise. I'll keep praying for you. But you got to pray for me. Because it's a two-way street. We're not going to get there without each other. We need each other. Put your Bibles in.